الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات سيجعل لهم الرحمن ودا. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Fed on and as a completion to yesterday's talks, and that is to try and slaughter our own chicken, our own mutton, etc., even beef. For one is, you'll have no doubt in what you are eating is 100% halal, and it is tayyib also. And that is your own psychological effect. You'll know, you'll have no doubt. And the other is, it will strengthen your iman. Today our iman has gone so we have doubts, but we just still carry on eating. Our iman can't stop us from a chocolate. Our iman can't stop us from an ice cream, though we have doubt in it. And our chicken, we have doubt, but our iman can't stop us. Our iman will be strengthened. If we eat the right food, our iman will be strengthened. And see then the miracle of iman. We read about the miracle of iman, we want to see it. But it depends on the food that we eat also. Also, one positive response I already had got, Mufti Imtiaz, who was here from Maputo, and they had come just to spend a few hours here. And the next day they returned again, all the way from Maputo just to spend those few hours. Anyway, he sent me an email and he explained to me, as he told me before also, I encouraged them there also to have only the farm chicken. What we call the Zulu chicken, the farm chicken, desi chicken. And they are running a big madrasa also, and they need a lot of consumption for this. But alhamdulillah, when the determination is there, Sheikh Pine ka to irada kare, asman se mangwa li jayegi. You have the sincere intention that you want to eat, divine intizam, and it will be arranged for you divinely. Allah will make if you are sincere in your intention. So he say in the city of Maputo, to get this farm chicken in such huge numbers and on a regular basis for the students at the madrasa was out of the question, but Allah made it possible. And they only eat the farm chicken at home also, and in the madrasa for the students also, just the farm chicken. So it is possible. Also, one of our friends wrote that if he has to put up a cage in the yard, in the garden, his mother will go berserk, that what are you doing here? And that is a case. So there is the way of doing it. Many husbands might want it, the wife won't want it. Many wives will want it, the husbands won't want it. So the first thing is to make the zahin, make them understand. And the best point, though with commercial chickens, there are very many big question marks whether they are even halal. That is a very serious matter. But people don't, as I said, our iman level is so low that these things don't matter. As long as the chicken appears nice, everything, we are just happy that it's all right for consumption. And we don't want to delve into this. And whoever will say that there is even a doubt, we just label him as an extremist and just cut him off the radar. He doesn't exist. He doesn't, what he says doesn't matter also. But take it from a health point of view. In that way, some people are very conscious of their health. And there is no doubt. Where's Hassan? Hassan Yusuf. What did you say, Hassan Yusuf? Hassan, in which company were you working? What do they do? Stand up. Blood meal. All the blood for the chicken feed. And the other one? The eggshell. And the other one, the pig one you used to? Acha. So just imagine, Hassan was working in this company, first hand information. And all the abattoirs, when they slaughter the blood, they make feed out of that blood. They don't let that also go for waste. And that feed and that blood must be of all the animals, even pig even cow, everything, which are not even slaughtered halal way. And they make that the feed, and they give these, this the chicken that we are eating, this broilers we are eating. So be very conscious. And all the, and this is all, it really there is a, it's a cycle, it's a triangle, pyramid, the type of philosophy that is ruling the world. Right on top is Shaitan sitting. And he inspires and informs his chelas, his people under him. And what is his agenda, they also don't know. He puts it in a nice picture. And then they inform the next and get their work done from the next till it comes right to the bottom. Like, for example, if you have to go to the bank and you tell the teller or the bank manager, even if you go to the bank manager, I say, I want an interest-free account, etc. He, according to what he has been taught, according to that, your accountant will tell you you can't have it. It has to be. But it's actually the one above who has got an agenda which the lower one doesn't know. So all this works like that. So all this feed, etc., they just make it look very nice and they give it, they have some research done which is paid for. Today, unfortunately, how much of the research which professionals go by, but that research is paid for to come to a certain result. In fact, I myself, we were young boys when we were studying in Mia's farm, and our Ustad, Maulana Abbas Ali Jina, he had an old combi. And we were, whenever we had a chance to go, he'd send us for work, it was just a joy day for us. So one day we had to go somewhere, and the Kialami racetracks were on the way. And we saw the gates were open. So it was a day for racing for us. And we got onto the actual tracks, the off day, and we got onto the tracks, and we went for, it was for us a day to enjoy ourselves. And with that old combi, how we must have hammered it, Allah forgive us. But anyway, the AA were doing a test at that day on the tracks, that a car traveling at a certain speed, and if a brick hits the windscreen, that brick won't, the glass won't cause injury. So they were doing that. And it had to be moving at a speed of about 120 or something. But that car was stationary. And stationary, they threw a brick on it. And now that passes off as an AA research product. Whereas it completely lies. That car we saw, we were present. It was just standing, stationary. So all this research also, and we, the way we go by research and the way professionals, especially doctors, how they go, research shows this, research, no, recent research is this, the new research is this. All of it, how much of it is paid for by commercial people. And they want the commercial profits, that's what they want. One of the richest organizations in the world is the World Health Organization. With money they are making all this research, and it's just a money-making scheme. So it is from there that even the chickens are being the source of ill and sicknesses. Then from another source, the remedy is given. So it is just, they are making us pawns and playing fools with us. And our health is at stake. If we are not worried of our iman, be worried of your health at least. Otherwise, iman is the most serious thing, what we eat. So first make the zehen at home, have ta'aleem. Explain to them, if you don't want to have all the sicknesses, and not only serious sicknesses like cancer, many other sicknesses, all stem from the same thing. Another big gimmick, which we don't seem to understand, is this bottled water, pure water, mineral water. The water is, in all cases, in all probability, whereas, of course, Coca-Cola was caught in America. And in India, Coca-Cola company, that they were bottling ordinary tap water and selling it as mineral water. So that is also there. But besides that, if it is genuine mineral water, just to come on to this, actually my subject is something else today, inshallah. A lady went boating in America. On the boat, she went boating. And she fell very ill and she was hospitalized, ICU. And she died within 3 years, the days. When they did an autopsy, they found that she had taken Coca-Cola cans and she was drinking from the can. And there was a rat urine on the top of the can. and that urine is so poisonous and that killed her. First they couldn't even diagnose her. It was only in the autopsy that it came out. So those Coca-Cola cans, etc., all this, they are in how many storerooms, warehouses, in trucks, and there they all this rats, rodents, etc. And then they mess it. When it comes in your shopping center, and you see there in the shop, it's packed very nicely, it looks very nice, and we don't know the history behind it. Just like this, this bottled water in this plastic bottles. The plastic bottle is the culprit, not the water. But this plastic, when it is, and we usually, when we go on a journey, we take water with to drink on the way. And we just buy the bottle, we go into a shop, cold water, we put it in the car, we drink, we travel. And many places we get off the car for 1-2 hours. For more time also, the car is locked, the windows are closed. The amount of heat that built up. How many children die who are left unattended in a car? How many animals, pets die who are left unattended? You leave your chocolates in there. Something else, you find it melted because of the amount of heat that builds up. So this heat that builds up melts that plastic of that bottle and it mixes with the water. And that water has come to you. You buy from the shopping center, wherever you buy from your shop, etc. But it has come from where it was packed, transported in trucks, and the heavy heat that was on it. It was stored in warehouses, and nobody puts all air conditioning in warehouses. There also it was already it was mixed with it. Now when it is put in your shop in a fridge, you think it's that cold water. You buy it, you put it in a fridge. When you're going to use it, you put it in a fridge. Otherwise you leave it also in your storeroom, you leave it in your pantry, there also heat builds up. Now finally you're drinking cold when so much of that poison has been mixed. For in that woman, the major cause of woman's breast cancer, that same chemical which is in that plastic bottle, that was found the cause of this breast cancer for woman. So there are many of all these things, so we have to be careful. So try and emphasize the health point of view. And after 6 months, 3 months, 6 months, a year, when the zehen is made, then go now. Don't just go from here, take up, and you go and put a cage in the yard. And next you are bringing some chicken and you are putting it there. They'll say you're making Kruger National Park in our yard, or what you're trying to do here. So first, get them to also make it such a way that the one who is not conscious, they are adamant, we want health food. Eh? And also if we can't get it, then go on a diet. The world is on a diet. The Hindus are on a vegetarian diet their whole life. Eh? They don't have meat. You won't die if you don't have meat. How many Hindus are living until old age they live? And they only have vegetables. Meat products they have. For your health's sake, you go on a diet. Doctor puts you on a diet. Hakim puts you on a diet. For the shape of your body, woman go on a diet. Just for that half a centimeter, that 1 centimeter, they go on a diet. And how many people for weight go on a diet? So many people are on a diet. If you're in a country where you can't just get it, don't eat meat. You won't die if you don't eat meat. And there are more than enough things. In place of meat, you can have, there are replacements. What is this? They make some soya. Soya is a 100% replacement of meat. Whatever proteins, etc., you get in meat is in soya also. You can have soya samosas, you can have soya, everything you can have, and you will have it. How many dars have got the things what meat has got? Allah has kept it in there. Vegetables have got so much of proteins and vitamins and whatever we require. So if a person is concerned about his akhlaq, his character, about his morals, about his health, about his mort, the most important thing, his iman, then worry about your food. It's not a small subject, it's a very, very serious subject. It's not something just to be making a joke about and just throwing it out of the window and carrying on eating what we want to. It's a very serious subject. And if a person can even more than that, if he can, then be careful or minimize it at least on sweets, on ice creams, cold drinks, etc. These things are not healthy for us at all. If you really want to minimize on it, but the best is if you can, and there are alternatives. For example, you can have how many good sarbats in place. And also a cold drink which is packed by Muslim companies, that also is no license, because the essence of it is still coming from the other sources, and they've added it there. Kentucky Fried Chickens or McDonald's, I think it was McDonald's, in Makkah Sharif, Saudi Arabia and India, they were caught that the potato chips, who will find a problem with chips? Chips is kosher. What is wrong with chips? But it comes half fried from the company. And it was fried in lard. Pig fat. It was fried in there. And when they were exposed, they apologized to India. They stopped the supplying of it. They apologized to them. And to Saudi Arabia, they did not even apologize. And so this, even that, in what is it fried? It's potato chips, no problem, 100% all right. But in what is it fried? And the pre-fries, we must be very careful in what has it been fried. So all these things we have to be careful about our food. May Allah make us conscious. You are what you eat, your akhlaq, your moral, your way of thinking. What you eat makes you like this. And our children who are born with this, many of us who have reached a certain age, in our time, we didn't have all these things. So we went past without these things, but the children of today are 100% exposed to it. Also, one point that came to mind, where we must be very thankful of our parents and that we were born in Muslim homes and we don't appreciate, and they imbibed Islamic values in us, even if they were not like pious. Amongst the other things was also istinja with water. We just take it for granted we are making istinja with water. It was a natural culture with them, and we just came into us, but we don't appreciate. Today we haven't got eyes to see. Otherwise, our parents, even if they were not really particularly pious, but like roza, namaz, these were things, the values they had put into us. And one of those things is the istinja also. Otherwise, istinja becomes a major problem. One good friend of ours in Chile, he was a radiographer on the ship. His whole life he spent on the ship. He was the only Muslim on the ship, the staff of the ship. And he says that when he used to go toilet, he used to use water. Then the others, then they started complaining. Before them it was like dirty, there were splashes of water. And that also, as it was written in the adab, wherever we use public toilets, especially on the aeroplane, etc., leave it clean after that. Don't give somebody opportunity to point a finger at the Muslims. That when a Muslim person goes in the toilet, he messes it up. And even just the water, though it's only water, but it does looks unclean. Just wipe it off. Make sure you do that. So anyway, they had a problem with it. With him. One day when they were having meals, breakfast, whatever it was, and they brought this point up, so there was condensed milk. So he took the condensed milk, he told all to drop a few drops onto their palms. A few drops, he said, lick it now. They licked it, so he said, lick it again. Licked it again, still you get the condensed milk taste? They said, yes, we get it. So he said, the same thing when you go to toilet and you wipe it off. It still remains there. It's not gone. With water, he said, now that condensed milk, wash it with water. Now you get the taste of condensed milk. Now you don't get the taste. So when you wash with water, the only cleanliness is in water. The best antiseptic is water. Allah has made it. And so this is also a great ni'mat we got from our parents, which we don't realize. Like today's children just cannot use the flat pan. And today we see the trend in many homes. There is no more a special tap by the toilet. If you take the water from the basin, and sometimes the basin is a little far, and sometimes the water you took is not enough to clean yourself. You need more water. Now what do? You just use a tissue paper. So soon it must not happen that water also goes out of our system. Our parents, and by nature, by their kindness, they have instilled great values in us. It mustn't happen we lose this on the way. Today's talk, I wish to base it on one very important subject, which is so important, especially in the eyes of our Honorable Shaykh, Rahmatullah Ali, that every day's majlis, this talk was repeated. For char nuskhe waliullah bannegi. For prescriptions to become a wali of Allah Ta'ala. And Hazrat used to explain, these are only four things. They not that you will be, they are enough to make you a wali, but they are enough to make you a wali. In other words, you don't only practice on this four, but if you practice on this four, the rest of deen will become easy for you. And a beautiful example Hazrat should give, a person who can pick up a cow, what difficulty is it for him to pick up a chicken? So these are four heavy things. If you can pick them up, then the rest of deen will become very easy for you. So these four things are very important and we should keep them in mind. The first one, ek mutthi dari rakhna, to keep one first length beard. This is the first thing. Many people find they are good Muslims. By heart, genuinely, they are good Muslims, but they find it hard to keep a beard. So the beard, Hazrat, Allah reward Hazrat, and really you could say Hazrat did his PhD with regard to the guna of the eyes, with regard to the beard. The details which Hazrat explained and how openly he discussed the subject, very few places you will find this. Even with great ulama who will discuss these subjects openly, they are usually just expected to be there. Or it's just swept under the carpet. But Hazrat very openly explained these things. And they are very, very important basic things of deen. So the beard must be one first length. The first must be from under your chin. Don't measure from here once your first. It will be very short. And it must be from under your chin. And then see whether there is hair at the bottom. All of you all try. Those who doesn't grow, no problem. Those who are still young, it's not there. But otherwise, it must be from under the... If it is not there, then our beard is... The length is not correct. And also, it must be one first length. So much. And this is the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It mustn't be less than that, and it mustn't be more also. Little bit more for safety sake is quite in order, but not like long, long beards. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says that when he was in Bombay, he gave bayan, the same bayan on the beard. And there was one Haji Sahib there whose beard was right till his navel. And when he used to go for his stinja, he had to put the beard under his armpit. Otherwise his beard will get napak with the urine, etc. So don't keep, that is the ways of the Jews and the Salafis to keep long, long beards. And our way, Hadhrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, should usually, whenever he used to do his trimming, he should take his beard and one first length and he should cut it. And he should say, this is the way Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do. One first length beard. And also your own first. Don't call your 2-year-old child or the barber's 2-year-old child and tell you, beta, come here, my beard has to be one first length. His first is so small. And then you make your beard small, no. And the reason why I usually, alhamdulillah, in fact, one friend of ours in Mombasa, when we had our safar and we were leaving, he said, I'm very astonished at you, that you tell the people, you say you call them nicely, one side, nicely, you tell them about the beard, and you say it such a way they accept it. Otherwise, his one good friend, a Maulana, he said, how many years I'm with Maulana? I never heard him speak about the beard. Never tell anyone. How many imams of masjids, our mutawallis, they haven't, their beards are not in order. We serve the community, we serve the mutawallis our whole life. But we not one day did we tell them, not one day did we make one dua also. That Ya Allah give them tawfiq. Or never did we tell other people who have influence on them. They won't listen to us, we are the employees. But they will listen to another person. Through that person you give the message. But we just haven't got concern. We are not worried of ourselves, we are not worried of others. And some of us, we just worried about ourselves. Even we come for Khanka, but we won't advise, I encourage one person that you also get ready, you also come. Well, how many, mashallah, some brothers, they look like ordinary brothers, but how much concern they got. We make majlis also, but our majlis is also entertainment. No production taking from the factory, all the machines are working, But you go and see, what did it produce? Zero. No, no production. What kind of a factory is that? Must have results. Eh? So we have to encourage people, but we haven't got this in us. We're just doing it just for the sake of doing it, or just for our own, the wah wah. People must say, mashallah, majlis taking place, bayan taking place. But we're not getting, bayan also we make to impress people, not to get results. Eh? That is what we have to get. We have to get the results. So anyway, the reason I started speaking about this even more is when I read the Malfooz of Hazrat Maulana Muhammad, Hazrat Mahashah Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, in fact, which our Shaykh taught us, that the beard, if a person has kept a beard, but to the extent of one grain of rice, how little is that one grain of rice? To that extent, if it is less than what it's supposed to be, then the guna is the same like keeping no beard. Like a person who completely shaves his beard, doesn't keep beard at all. That is a big guna, guna kabira. Right? And if you made your beard less, just one rice grain size, the same guna. So how terrible. And the example I usually give, that when we will go in the qabr, and you had a beard and you were satisfied, I had a beard, I made amal on sunnah. But there it is declared no beard. Where are you going to now grow your beard? Like if you go for some work, for a visa application, passport, any government department, and you stood 1 kilometer in the mile, in the line, and there are places like this. Eh? We must make shukr. We go to any home affairs office or licensing office, we don't stand 1 kilometer in the line. There are those places in those countries where the people queue up from the night. They sleep over there at the home affairs. They sleep over at the licensing office. And in the morning, if they get in, they are lucky. Eh? We haven't got, but if a person, this whole line he stood, the whole night in the sun, in the rain, in the cold. And when he came to the offer, to the window, they said, this one thing of yours, you didn't bring your passport copy, or your ID copy, or any one thing. So reject it. Now you have to go back again. How you will feel about it? And especially if you've got a time for a framework in which you have to finish it, and you are going on a safar, you need your passport, and they told you, no, go back again. What big problems. This all, a person can tolerate it and overcome it. In the qabr, if we are sent back, not sent back, nobody gets sent back. If you are rejected in the qabr, where are we going now? So we must be very careful and particular that our beard must be correct. So the lengthwise, it must be, and from all three sides. Unless shukr, our beard doesn't grow like this also. Otherwise, how should we look? We should go home, wife should chase us out. And it grows like, but when you want to trim it, catch it like this also. And it must be a first length from all three sides. And this is according to all four imams. And a person must be, mustn't get nervous when he explains this. Otherwise we say, according to all three imams, it must be all four sides, it must be. Like many people, when they get excited, they say you must give your 3 months every day for Jamaat. Instead of saying 3 days every month, they say you must give 3 months every day. A person gets excited and he becomes nervous. So according to all four imams, of the beard, all three sides, it must be one first length. That is the length of the beard. The area that it covers is also very, very important. The word beard in Arabic, lahya, comes from the Arabic word lahya. And in Urdu, Gujarati, dari. It comes from the Urdu, Gujarati word dar, which is the lower jaw. Lahya, the lower jaw. So if you open your mouth and you feel your lower jaw, together with the teeth, that's the area the beard must cover. And the lower jaw goes here at the bottom also. So all this here at the bottom, the end, here on the top, till where the jaw. The cheeks are not included. What grows on the cheeks, that hair can be removed. Another easy indication is from your side burn, the front of it, to where your lips move in a slight curve. That is the area which has to be covered. And that is very easy, a person can see. And we also offer a free service. If anyone wants to have it checked up, free of charge. You can come and we will tell whether, and alhamdulillah, many of our friends whose beards were a little adjustment and they became correct. And now inshallah you will pass the test in the qabr also. And with this sunnat, a vivid sunnat that will be with you in your qabr. When you will be asked about sunnats, about the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that which deen, who is this personality, inshallah your beard will be a proof here of its own. They will say, this man has come with the right beard. What we have to ask him also for? His proof is da'wa ma'ad dalil. He's got proof of his what he's saying. So that is the what grows on the cheek that can be removed. It's permissible to remove, but don't go too down. Our Shaykh used to say, sometimes you go lower, and then you leave like a French beard, or you leave a French beard here at the bottom, or you leave a pencil line, or an L-shaped beard you have. No, it must be that the only what is on the cheeks. And for that, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to advise, remove the hair on the cheeks. That is the landing ground of your wife when she wants to kiss you. Now, if the whole landing strip also, trees are growing. Where is the airplane going to land? So at least leave the landing space for her. When she wants to land a kiss on you, then sometimes she wants to kiss you on your cheek. Then she can kiss you there also. So remove that hair. But don't let it go further down. Then here at the bottom, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to explain, the hair that grows with the beard, that hair must be kept. The hair that grows separate from the beard. The example the Hazrat should give on this is like the soldier on the battlefield. That soldier that is with his army, with the people, his army, you don't shoot that soldier. But the soldier that separates from the army, is running away, or is going to the enemy's army, you shoot him in the back. He's a traitor. So that hair that grows away from the beard, that is allowed to be removed. But the hair that grows with the beard, that must be kept. Don't remove all the hair here at the bottom, which is growing with the beard. So that is the area that it covers. The length also we discuss, and it's very important to keep the beard according to the correct sunnat way. To do sunnat, always remember, do the right thing the right way. Don't do the right thing the wrong way. And the wrong thing can't be done the right way, and it can't be done the wrong way. What is wrong. But the right thing, do it the right way. So, and then comes the mustache. And with regard to the mustache, the best is to remove it completely. Not to use a manual razor. No, that's not permitted. Use an electric razor, actually a scissor, the basic thing. And an electric razor, battery-operated razor, works on the principle of a scissor. It cuts. So use that to remove. And to make it fine completely is the best. Complete to remove all the hair on the of the mustache. If you want to keep a mustache, then you can keep it, but with the top whiteness of the top lip, the whiteness of the top lip, that must not be covered. Then it becomes makruh tahrimi, a makruh which is like haram. Don't let it cover there. And if you are going in a battle, then it's all right. You keep a big mustache to put fear in your enemy. But like one person, one of Hazrat's murids, he said, I keep a big mustache in order to put fear in my wife. Allah said, Toba, Toba. With your wife, you must make love, not that you put fear in her. And you control her with love, not with fear. So don't keep a big mustache. And it comes in the hadith. Listen to this carefully. The woman of Bani Israel got involved in adultery because the men were keeping big mustaches. And what the connection is, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knows. We amanna wa saddaqna. We believe it and we take it wholeheartedly. So don't let your mustache grow big. You will put your wife into fitna. Your life will come into a misery. You will be destroyed if you do that. So don't keep a big mustache. Remove it regularly. One time in Bombay, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali was giving a talk, and Hazrat explained that to mustache, if you keep it where the whiteness of the top lip is not covered, it is permissible. Pass mark you get. But a distinction you get if you remove it completely. So he say, for me, second class pass is also alright, as long as I pass. His father was also sitting. His father said, you are lying. When you got married, you were not happy on a second class girl. You wanted a first class girl. And when we were making your bedroom, you were not happy on second class furniture. So you wanted brand new furniture, not old used furniture or anything. So in dunya we all want the best. So the same thing in deen also, take the best. Then comes the question of the baby beard. This is a baby beard, and one of its special qualities are, it remains whole life a baby. It doesn't become baligh and grow up. It remains a baby whole life. So our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says, your baby, when you are eating, he puts his finger in your mouth. So you don't bite his mouth. So this baby beard also, don't cut it off. And your baby also, when he puts his finger in your mouth, nicely you take out his hand, you put it down. So the same thing with the baby beard. Just put some water, some oil, and it's very obedient. It's naughty also. Again, it will come out in your mouth. But again, it will go down easily. You just put little water, little oil, it goes on its place again. But very soon, as soon as the water is dried, the oil, it comes back into your mouth. So the baby beard must be kept also. Many people remove the baby beard. That is also not correct. That is part of the beard, and we have removed not only to the extent of a rice grain, but more than that we have removed. So the beard must be kept. This is one very important. In fact, one time in Madinatul Munawwara, Hazrat told me to speak on this subject. Hazrat gave me the honor in his majlis, he should ask me to speak. So I spoke on this. Then one very close and prominent person of Medina Sharif, his beard, an Arab beard, is, it covers the right amount, but the length is not right. They just keep it just to cover the amount, and we got a beard, but it's not a sunnah beard. There is a great difference of halal and certified halal. There is a great difference of keeping a beard and a sunnah beard. A great difference between the two. So then Hazrat told me, go now and individually, one on one, explain to him that he must keep his beard properly. And so Hazrat had so much concern about it. So that is with regard to the beard. Anyone has any questions about it? If you have, you can ask. The next is trousers above the ankles. That is also very, very important. And these are those gunas in which there is no end. Also with regard to the beard, if it is not according to sunnah, when you are sleeping, you are in guna. You have gone for Arafat, you have gone for Faraz, Hajj. You are in Arafat, your hands are up. You are in Ihram, you are making dua. But you are in a state of guna if your beard is not right. And if your beard is right, you are sleeping and you are collecting sawab. While you are in toilet, you are getting sawab because you got a proper sunnat beard. So we should try and keep the proper sunnat beard. Then with regard to the ankles, they should not be covered. This is for man, not for woman. But today everything is upside down. Women cover their, open their ankles. And not only the ankles, the knees and everything they open. And men cover the ankles. Men must open the ankles. It shows the manhood of a person. That is a man that whose ankles are open, and that it shows your manhood. And if you are covering them, you've got some feminine traits in you. And in the according to the hadith, it's a sign of pride in a person. Whether he does it consciously because of pride or not, but the very fact that he keeps his trouser below his ankles is a sign of pride. Gee. But who takes out his beard? He is equally in the guna. Punishment. That will be in the qabr. Allah save us all. Gee. And sometimes our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali also explained, good question he asked, that one person, his beard became very small. So he say, I was sleeping, the barber did it. So he says that your purse, you don't just keep it like that. When you say the barber took my purse, now I can't help it. And he took out all my dollars and all my money he took out. No, you look after your purse. So you be conscious of your beard. If you are going to a barber to have your beard trimming done, etc., you make it very clear and don't go and sleep away there. See what he's doing. So we should be very careful about this. About the ankles should be open. It comes in a hadith that a person who covers his hands, ankles, Muslim Sharif's riwayat, amongst other people, is that person, la yuzakkihim wa lahum adhabun aleem. That Allah won't give him the tawfiq of tazkiyah. We might wonder, and the connection you can understand clearly. A person who has got pride, for that person's tazkiyah to take place is almost impossible. You can get all the mashayikh of the world to make his tazkiyah. Pride is that disease that does not allow a person's tazkiyah. So therefore, it shouldn't, and this is qa'iman or mashiyan. While a person is standing or a person is walking. If like this, if I'm sitting, if I had a shawl or anything or even my trouser, if it covered my ankles while sitting, no problem. You are lying down on the bed and you take a shawl and you take it, you cover it from your toes over your head. No problem. This is all what comes from the top. You wear your socks and you cover your ankles. It came from the bottom. And you wear your socks winter till your knees. Or you wear socks right here till your throat also. No problem. Your ankles are covered, but no problem. This is what comes from the top. Your clothing, your kurta, which is from the top. And we find this Arab Salafi kurta, its trend is it has to cover the ankle. And only the ankles. Only then really it looks smart and it's appealing. The more longer it is and the more it, and that such a person, they do a favor for the municipality. Municipality don't need so many sweepers. And they do the sweeping, but the worst part is they bring all the dirt, sweep it into the masjid. Where the dirt has to be swept into the dustbin. They sweep all the dirt into here. One of the reasons for this, Mullah Ali Qari, Rahmatullah Ali, gives why it has been made haram also to wear trousers below the ankle. Min jihati najasa, of impurity. That's dogs, they excrete anywhere. And some of them, their excretion is at a 90 degree, right straight up. And you with this long kurta of yours and your long clothes, you walk past, and that kurta also so broad, it takes all that also with it, all the dirt with it. So that the ankles should be kept clear, they should not be covered. The other is the two things, beard, ankle must not be covered. And this is for man, not for woman. Woman must cover the ankles. And this is while you are standing, while you are walking. You are lying down, etc., no problem. And also remember to be always conscious. I've seen our Shaykh whenever he would be sitting down, lying on the bed. When he gets up, the first thing, pull up his trouser. Because this, it tends to go down. And the trouser, it loosens a bit and it goes down. And also try and keep your trouser, our Mashayikh's tariqah of the ulama of Dioban is to keep it well above the ankle. So that even when it slips down, you are still on safe ground. That cow that grazes on the border of the farm, inadvertently that cow is going in the neighbor's farm. And then there, those people, they will come with their sticks and stones and chase that cow away. So this also, it should be away from the border. So if it does slip a little bit, you are still on safe ground. But if it sometimes happen more, but be always conscious. And don't be shy to tell somebody, but with diplomacy, with a nice way, with respect that person, not that fault finding. Not in order to nail the person, I got a chance to nail him today. No, with muhabbat and with piyar and in a nice way. And don't humiliate him in front of other people. Tell him in a nice way. And also just suggest it. Don't order it. Because he might just refuse, and from guna, you put him into kufr. He refuses to follow the sharia and the laws of Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That person, you'll put him into kufr. So in a nice way, advise him. And the best is just to make general talks and just suggest him. The third thing is the guna of the eyes. That we gave a detailed talk already, that we should guard our gazes. And this is an arrow of the poisonous arrows of shaitan. So what will happen? If you're using the arrows of shaitan, his poisonous arrows, you can imagine how you're going to kill your iman. You will kill the iman of other people also. So to safeguard, the eyes is also very important. And then the fourth thing is not to cook up all things in your heart. Keep your heart and mind clean. That also we had discussed already in detail. And if you keep your eyes pure, inshallah your heart will be pure. And Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to explain, this is one great favor and ni'mat of Allah, that Allah cut off the problem from the root. That you just keep your eyes clean. your heart will remain clean. Some people say, Ankh Saf, Dil Pak, that my eyes are pure, my heart is clean also. And if I look around, it doesn't have any effect. If it doesn't affect you looking at woman, being close to woman, then you might be anything else but a man. Butter in front of a fire, if it doesn't melt, it can be anything else but butter. Butter has to melt in front of fire. A man, what he sees, it has to register. And whether you can be an old man also, you can be more cold than a deep freeze also, but your thoughts, it will still affect you all the time. So a person must be very careful, and a person whose heart is not clean, how can that person be clean then? And very, very sadly, many imams, especially in country towns, even in the cities, they mix freely with the women of the in their community. And some of them teach young girls also. And they don't find any fault in that. They've got such a big fault that they can't see their faults. That you are teaching young girls and you are mixing with the woman freely, especially if you are in a position of the principal, and the woman also just come, and they come dressed for the occasion also. Half their breasts are showing also. And with all the perfume also. If you're not going to fall in fitna, and if you still claim that me, I don't fall in fitna, that person is the worst in fitna. He's drowned, the water is gone over his head, that he doesn't even realize that I'm in fitna. So a person must be very careful, and imams also, though they are maulanas and they are imams of the masjid, etc., they must be very careful. Similarly, the muazzin also. And now it is not so much, but before, whenever a fowl had to be slaughtered, a chicken, they should ask the muazzin to slaughter it. And who brings it? The woman folk bring it. Or they say, you must come slaughter it at home. There is all sources of fitna. Whether it's the muazzin, whether it's the imam who has to slaughter, and you mixing with the woman, any of this mixing of ghair mahram, woman that you are not allowed to mix with them, to talk with them, this goes into joking, it goes into flirting, and then everything else also happens. And such imams, and there is a separate subject, but one good friend of mine, the amount of problems he has got in his life now, I would think any ordinary person with the problems that he's got in his life, he'll commit suicide. Just now again I received an email, what problem is in there in that whole family's life? So this is all, it starts with the small things that what we call small. And this is Allah's great favor. He did not let it take root also. He cut it off from the root, guarding your eye, your gazes. Then your heart will also remain pure. So these four things, if we keep them in mind, inshallah, there are only four things of deen and sharia. Deen is not only four things, but if you control this, the rest of deen and sharia will become easy for you. Five times namaz will become easy. Rozas will become easy. Staying away from backbiting will become easy. If you have the courage to keep your beard and you are not shy of your beard. And then your ankles. Many people, one good friend of ours who's sitting here, when he went in Jamaat, Alim, and he came back, he wrote to me, he said, I noticed very clearly, and somebody just sent me an email now again, on the same subject, that when we wear the short kurtas with the slits, we feel like I'm a nothing. I'm like a useless. A humbleness comes. And when we wear that long kurta, Arab maxi kurta, then we feel, I'm somebody. So it brings pride in you, these things. So the same way with the trouser, when you cover your ankles, automatically a feeling of pride and something comes into you. And if you have to wear the western trouser, and it must be on the shoe, the trouser, covering the ankle completely, then you are dressy. And you want to show it off also. And just as we read in the kitab now, if a person dresses to show people, that person falls from the eyes of Allah. Allah will put on the clothes of disgrace on that person. And this, the same person I'm referring to, also very particular about his dressing. Always matching clothes and being very dressy and being smart. If these things here, they come with their baggage. And it has landed him in such great problems that you cannot imagine. And to be simple is the best. In our ulama and our Islam, the majority of them are those who went by the norm of simplicity and nothing elaborate, not being particular about your clothes, etc. Especially Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Mawlana Zakariya Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali. Then there are in our ulama, those who are particular about their dressing. But this is allowed when you have that capacity to control it. Agar tujhe hazam nahi hota, to mat kha. If you can't digest the food, then don't eat that food. Eat that food which you can digest. No matter how much of ghee and how healthy and how tasty that fat is. Eh? But if you can't digest it, your system can't digest it, you're going to die. Eh? Our Hafisa from Swaziland explained to us that one of his ustads, he visited him and then he ate a whole watermelon. Watermelon makes everything else digested, but itself it doesn't get digested. And how much he ate, middle of the night he came, banged on his door. Hafisa, wake up, I'm dying, yeah, I'm dying. He said, I gave him not one Eno, I gave him 5 Enos one time. And then somehow his stomach came right. So when we overeat, so all this, trying to be smart and that, and proving it from hadith, Inna Allah Jameel, Yuhibbul Jamal. But you can't digest that beauty. You can't control yourself. It goes to your head. And why you are doing it? The woman must eye you. And the woman must praise you. And you ask also what the woman said. My bayan, what was the woman's reaction? And what all this, my dressing also. The woman, you want that response from them. So that means your digestive system, spiritual, is gone zero. It's not digesting anything. You are, and a person who wears this nice clothes and uses, Inna Allah Jameelun Yuhibbul Jamal. Allah doesn't see you only in public places and He wants to see your beauty. When you're at home on your own, then how you dress. A woman also, when she wants to go out, then she's dressed. And at home she wears that, overall, like we're doing all house menial work, and how that overall looks also, when it was washed also, and what sapat she wear at home. But when she go out, that pointed shoes have to come out now, and that high heel shoes. One place we went, and it was another country, a hot country, so they kept the shoes, and safe country, so shoes were kept out of the door, not inside the house. So the whole shoe rack was there and full of shoes. A lady's per bayan. So I got happy, the whole, mashallah, full house we got. Many women. After I bayan, I made it with Josh also, that full house I got. It was only the house lady alone. All the shoes were her shoes all there. So many shoes, all were her shoes. So all this, yeah, and all that fancy for every occasion, everything. And that shoes, once it's worn, can't be repeated again. Next occasion, another new shoe again has to come. So that is not our way. If you can digest it, then make amal on the hadith, Inna Allah Jameelun, Yuhibbul Jamal. Otherwise, if you can't, just have your simple food, which get digested easily. Dress simply, live simply, that is you are in 100% safe zone. Otherwise, you're putting yourself in great danger. So anyway, may Allah Ta'ala, with regard to rearing our own chicken, and also, when we will do that, really you will see, it will take time, a little time, but you will see the family unity with the children, instead of them going to the soccer grounds, instead of going to watch soccer, and to go here, there, to make that one day, that is a slaughtering day, that we're going to slaughter for the week. And our chicken, our mutton, and that effect of the slaughtering and coming in touch with ground. If we can, there is again another subject, but do gardening also. Even if it is just our methi we grow and dana we grow at home. Instead of flowers, no problem, you can have flowers. But plant some beetroots, plant some carrots, plant some potatoes at home. Do some that also. How much you mix with sand and how much you mix with animals. Every Nabi reared animals. Every Nabi in a part of his life was a shepherd also in order to teach him. So these qualities are gone right out of us. Today it is computer games, a laptop, iPod, iPad, iKona. All these things here, don't have all these things here. All this I is I corner. Have the genuine, let them mix with nature. And nature's qualities will come into a person. Humility will come into a person. May Allah give us all tawfiq and make it easy for us. If we are sincere, Allah will open the doors for us.